Jim Otino, and he is with Advanced Treatment Solutions and combating the opioid addiction, which is rampant not only nationally, but specifically here in the state of Connecticut. But it's been more rampant over the last few years than really any other time in the course of history. Am I not mistaken?
That I've seen in my career, absolutely.
Yeah.
The fentanyl that's on the street right now, it's just unbelievable. You know, and it seems to be morphing. They keep changing the formulas and making them stronger and stronger. So it's making it a harder challenge for us to treat people. Because we don't necessarily know what they're taking, so
and you know, you hear it all the time: a shooting taking place in Hartford.
It's a competitive market, the drug dealing market, and with the fentanyl, it's very cost effective. It's very cheap.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to go into, and there's the attraction right there. So it's a quick high, it's a cheap high, and it's a deep high, and addiction is so quickly. It occurs so quickly with that, as heroin as well. So therefore, more and more and more people are getting addicted, and I would imagine deeply addicted.
Absolutely, and the fentanyl that's on the street, it's being sold as heroin. So people think that they're getting heroin, but it's actually fentanyl,
and it's killing them.
You know, what used to cost probably about $100 a bundle, you know, about $10 a bag, you're probably looking at it at $4 a bag now. So it's actually hasn't gone with inflation. It's actually gotten cheaper. So, you know, people are getting more for their money, but it's killing them because the potency.
The first thing that comes to my mind is that would these individuals, and I know they're addicted, and I understand, I can understand that, but when it's very well known that this fentanyl will kill you almost instantaneously, that enough isn't won't scare them into something else, or, well, geez, maybe I'll just have a beer then. I mean, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, if I don't care what the addiction is, I would think that once I found out that this is going to kill you, not long term. It's not like smoking, where we all understand the studies and it's going to kill you in the long run, but you don't think about what's down the road. This fentanyl, if you have just the slightest amount of it, this is going to kill you right now.
And that's the evidence why it's a disease. That's perfect evidence of why it's a disease, because a rational person would not do that. But because of the addiction and the changes in the brain, the person, they hear about that drug that's killing somebody, and they will seek it out. They will go out and say, you know what, that's where I need to go buy it, because that's, I'm going to get more potency. I'm going to be able to get that dopamine rush. I'm going to be able to relieve my physical symptoms.
And then I'm going to die.
Sometimes that risk, they contemplate that. Or sometimes, you know, what we know about opiates is that it impacts certain parts of the brain and the thought process.
You know, one of the things, too, that I don't think people realize, this has got nothing to do with age groups. It's amazing to me, and I found out a couple of them, that age doesn't mean anything, but the hit does.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing it younger and younger and older as well. You know, opiate, we do. The one thing about treatment, in the 70s, we started treating people with medication-assisted treatment. So some of the alternatives were, you know, methadone. Now we have buprenorphine and Vivitrol. We know that people are living longer. So we have people that have had opiate disorders that probably developed in the early 70s, and they're living longer because they're not overdosing as long as they're in treatment.
So how would an opioid addiction begin? All right, you said it could have happened years ago, could have happened in the 70s, and depending on how old they are. What gets them addicted? Well, first of all, what gets them prescribed the opioid, and then what keeps them addicted to it?
Well, typically it's like an injury. Something happens. They you know, they break a leg, and all of a sudden they take opiates. We know that for some people, it creates an euphoria, that dopamine rush. Maybe the person gets a positive reward that very first time. It's kind of like, wow, this is incredible. And now they kind of move the needle a little bit with it, take more than prescribed. And then we know over a period of time, you know, tolerance can start to develop
right.
for the person.
So give me an example of an opioid, like Vicodin. An opioid.
Like Vicodin. Vicodin, you know, is a common medication. It's a good medication. We need it for pain, you know, for surgeries and things like that. But over time, I think the problem was the education was being given out there that it wasn't addictive, that people can, you can get on these medications and you necessarily didn't have a chance of addiction. But we know that about 10% of the population has what would we call some higher likelihoods of becoming addicted due to some social factors, due to some chemical. We're not sure if it's also some biological factors, but we do know, like trauma, for example, about opiate users, about 90% of clients that have an opiate use disorder have some traumatic experience in the past.
Now, you see the folks, you meet the folks.
Mm-hmm.
What are they like?
Yes.
Are
Wonderful.
There some that just come in and just want some help? Because it just seems that it has just taken over, really taken yeah. over.
Takes over their lives.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wonderful people, you know, people that are just trying to look to change their life, to make a change. Obviously, some are kind of in different stages of change. Some feel maybe they still can kind of party here and there, or, you know, kind of keep it with. And others, by the time they kind of seek out some help, you know, they're kind of at the point where, like, you know, I need a change. I need to make some movement here. How do I do this?
See, that's an interesting statement. What do they have to hit rock bottom? You hear that all the time. I don't know if that's a stereotype or do they really have to hit rock bottom before they say something to themselves? Because not everybody even says something to themselves.
I personally don't think that person has to hit rock bottom. I do think that they need to get some assistance.
But they have to admit something to themselves where, okay, I've had enough of this.
Absolutely. They need to, you know, kind of say, you know what, this is not working for me anymore.
And then you come in.
Yep.
What is the first thing that you do in your assessment when somebody comes to see you and says, hey, you know what? I'm addicted to oxycodone, for example, or whatever, any opioid. What is your process?
Trying to figure out, you know, what's been happening. What's been happening in that person's life? You know, what's kind of motivated them to kind of come in and call us for assistance? Sometimes family members kind of reach out. So sometimes I get a backstory probably of what's been happening within the family or from the other provider that may be referring to me. So typically trying to assess, you know, what's the severity of it? Because there is severity. There's kind of some people have more of a milder. You know, they're kind of in the beginnings of it, and then they realize that they're kind of getting caught up in it. There's some people that are kind of in that middle point, and then some that are on more of the severe side where they're having significant consequences due to their opiate use.
As long as they want to no longer be addicted to it anymore, can the success rate be 100%?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It can be. Is it a challenge? Is it very difficult? It is extremely difficult at times. Opiate disorder is a very challenging thing. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. It's a challenge, but it's 100% recoverable. If the person has a plan in place and they have supports around them, I think the biggest misconception is like, well, I can just stop taking the substance.
Cold turkey. And you don't recommend that, do you?
No. You know, opiate disorder, we know it damages the brain. I mean, we had this article on Sunday in the paper, and it kind of just validates that even more. In the professional community, we've known that for a long time, that with opiate use disorder, medications tend to work well with it because it stabilizes the brain. So we need, you know, obviously family support, we need professional support, but we also sometimes need medications. Medications can make a big difference in a person in stabilizing their mood, stabilizing the brain, so that they have the ability to work on the other issues that are kind of going on in their life. So it's important that as in the community that we're receptive to it, because I think what happens is the community says, oh, well, you're switching one medication. You're switching one drug for another.
Well, an opioid, though.
It is an opioate, yeah.
Yeah, but go ahead.
But it's not in the same category. You know, fentanyl is way over here. These medications, they're not altering the mood or the behavior of somebody. It's only altering it in a good way in stabilizing the brain.
Is there something that you see when you meet one of your clients? Is there something that you see that has got them all stirred up about something at home, something that they want to do? I mean, what is the driving force behind this? There's got to be some kind of a driving force.
I think it's coping, you know, coping with a lot of things. Either for some people, it's going into a party and maybe just feeling a little bit less anxious communicating with other people. From another person, it could be that they're just dealing with trauma and they're not able to cope with life. So it really varies. There's not really, I wouldn't say there's not one thing, Brad, that it starts it. It's a whole factor. Sometimes it's socially too. If you grew up in an environment where this was being peddled on your street corner, you're more likelihood to try it because it's access.
It's part of the environment. Yeah, we're talking with Jim Mutino, Advanced Treatment Solutions, and you can go to their website, www.advancedtreatmentsolutions.net. And here, I'm going to give you this phone number. Write this down. If you need a couple of seconds, go run, get a piece of paper, get a pencil right now. Okay, because you're going to want to write this number down. If it's not you directly, you probably know somebody, a family member, a friend, a coworker, whatnot, that has an opioid addiction, even if it's done on the down low. Okay, maybe you're the only one that knows and you can help this person. It's 866-887-6864. I'm going to repeat this number for you, and then again, a couple of minutes. 866-887-6864. Typically, though, Jim, how long does treatment last? Is this go on till the rest of their lives? Is this a year treatment, or is it just ongoing for perpetually?
I think to get somebody stable, it takes a period of time. So you're looking at maybe a two-year process, a year of kind of getting stable, so having some abstinence, and about a year of maybe getting off medications or maybe stable, just staying on the medication.
So they don't have to be on those meds for the rest of their lives.
For some people, you know, probably 10% of the clients, they're going to be on it. I think right now researchers are trying to find out if that's the best solution, is kind of keeping people on long term, because the question is, does the brain completely go back to normal status if the person is abstinent? And for some people, it doesn't. You know,
it doesn't go back.
It doesn't, because you know, I think especially the longer you wait, you know, you get past 50 years old, your body doesn't recover as quick. For some people, they may need to be on the medications longer, or maybe possibly for the rest of their life. But the question is, what is their quality of life?
Yeah.
And as far as recovery, what we call recovery, you know, that's a lifelong process. So you still need to implement those changes. It's just like if you're living a healthy lifestyle, you need to do that day in and day out. You may slip up with some behaviors, but you have to get back on that track.
But the good news, Brad, is that the help is out there.
Absolutely.
No one needs to live this secret life anymore. All they need to do is come to the realization. This is the hardest part. This is probably the area, Jim, that you can't help them in. And that is, they need to say to themselves, that's it. I need help. And the best thing for them to do
is make a call.
Make this phone call, 866-887-6864. And or just go right to their website. You can do that as well, www.advancedtreatmentsolutions.net. Start this journey immediately. The quicker you do, the quicker it is to recovery. I cannot thank you enough so much, Jim. We really appreciate you educating us, educating our listeners to this devastating way of life that can actually be turned around.
And every now and then, just want you to remember, it's good to have you come by to see us, because this never quits.
Yeah.
Never, ever quits.